Hello, everyone. This is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Sunday, June 3rd, Commodity Weekend Newsletter. I already recorded the General Market Newsletter, which you should have. This one, of course, is on commodities, U.S. dollar, precious metals, etc. And I will be trying to do one more newsletter today on simply just trade ideas. Again, as you know, I just got back from family vacation, so still getting into the swing of things. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started here. Item number two below shows the index sector table and what transpired last week. Again, I already talked about the general market, which had an up week except for the Dow. Moving down to currencies, U.S. dollar was basically flat for the week. It's had a really good rally, as you know, over the last couple months. Smaller range days lately. You know, is it forming a little short-term top or not? We'll see. Then moving on down to commodities, you can see the general CRB was down 0.8% for the week. So on the average, most commodities were down. Crude oil down 3%. Gasoline 1.4%. Natural gas pretty flat. Copper was up 0.7%. Agriculture was generally down. DBA down 1.15%. Corn and wheat both down about 3.5%. Coffee, though, was up almost 2%. And sugar was up 0.5%. Coffee, I think, bottomed a while back, was in a nice falling wedge. I've liked it, and it continues higher. As far as precious metals, we continue to eye that area as the commercial net short has fallen. But still, that area still doesn't totally seem ready to rally yet. Both gold and silver were down about 0.6%. However, the miners, GDX, was flat for the week. And at the very bottom, TLT 20-year bonds closed up 0.8%. And, of course, the 10- and 30-year treasury yields closed down. Next, item number three shows the economic news calendar for this week. Not a lot of news in the docket this week. Again, last week we had the jobs report, which came in very much higher than expected. You know, there is still, of course, possible geopolitical stuff with trade tariffs and stuff like that that can gyrate the market, etc. So, but otherwise, pretty light on the economic news. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into some of the charts. First off, first chart below, item number four, is a weekly chart of DBC. Again, that's the agriculture ETF. You can see slight down week, down 0.6%. It was down last week. Again, it's had a really good year. Before I left for vacation, this was up about almost 9.5% for the year. So definitely having a little pullback. It was a bit extended. And a lot of that, of course, is due to crude oil. This is heavily weighted to the energy area, crude oil, natural gas, etc. Next, chart five, here's the daily view. Again, it's really had a nice rally this year, especially after breaking out of that triangle pattern in April. But it got overextended, especially before I left. You can see the black candle doji candlestick there. It hit a high of 1847. It looks set up for a reversion, I mean, pullback, and that's what it's done so far. Again, it's still uptrending here. Maybe there's some sort of ABC pullback here. If it continues pulling back, perhaps it could test the 50-day moving average. Then we'll see if it can try to rally again. Again, when you look at the top 10 holdings, as you can see, the first four holdings, Brent crude oil, regular crude oil, gasoline, heating oil. So it's really strongly energy-based. Next, chart six, here's a 60-minute view. This is what I was talking about in a 60-minute time frame. It doesn't really look bottomed here yet. In fact, I could see it trying to make another low here. So we'll see if that happens this week. Next, chart seven, here's the DBC SPY ratio. I've been showing that all year long. Steve and I thought commodities would outperform this year in January, and they have. Obviously, the ratio last week was down 1.14%. So my thought is that the ratio could pull back a little bit here, but then we'll try to push higher again. So we'll see. Next, chart eight, here's a weekly chart of the U.S. dollar. Again, you can see U.S. dollar shows pretty much a flat week. There's a nice big doji candlestick here. See that? And we're right at the 38% Fib retracement. Remember I talked about this weeks ago? I said that could be a target perhaps over time. And we've made it all the way up here. So far, the rally off the lows has been about $6.80. That's a clear symmetry break from the previous rally there in 2017 of $4.10. So that sets the stage for this to form a higher low when the dollar does pull back. But again, it is kind of extended here. Doji candlestick. There is some divergence on the CCI. If you look at the very bottom, you see that CCI, how it's been making lower highs while price has been making higher highs on the dollar. No divergence in the other indicators like the RSI or anything, but a little bit on the CCI. So along with that doji, perhaps we'll be set up for a little pullback. And that's kind of what precious metals needs to have a push higher, I think. Next. Chart 9, here's a daily view of the dollar. Now, the daily view of the dollar doesn't look too bad, honestly, guys. It rallied up to resistance, basically the October, November 2017 highs. You see that where you had a head and shoulder pattern? And it pulled back there. So honestly, the dollar here could just chop around, maybe have a little pullback, but I think it could eventually break through that resistance. So, you know, even though the weekly chart above has a doji, that may just produce a short-term pullback, and then I could see the dollar perhaps rallying again and taking out this resistance. That would put further pressure on the precious metals like gold and silver. And honestly, that's not a bad thing. I wouldn't mind that because that would get the commercial net short on gold lower where I really want to see it for a true bottom. It's still, you know, in the mid one, it's in the mid 100,000s. I would like to see it below 100,000. Again, I'll talk about that when I get to that below. Next. Chart 10 here's, let's talk about bonds, TLT 20-year bonds, up 0.8% for the week. It rallied off support, that lower trend line a couple weeks ago. Big rally last week. Last week, well off the highs. You could see inverted hammer candlestick. We'll see what happens going forward. Remember, bonds and interest rates move opposite of one another. Next, chart 11, here's a daily view. Again, big rally on bonds from that May low, basically double bottom. Otherwise, just kind of consolidating here. Next, let's move to rates. Chart 12, here's a weekly view of 10-year treasury yields. That's interest rates. As you can see, they've had a nice rally from the 2016 lows, which I do believe is the bottom in interest rates. But again, remember, guys, even if I think interest rates are going to go up now for the long term, but even so, it's not going to go straight up. It's going to be a series of progressions, starts and stops. And you can see they've been pulling back here now. You can see the MACD divergence into recent highs as well. Next. Chart 13, here's a daily view. You can see the pullback. Finally, chart 14, here's a monthly view, long-term view, going back to 1980. Again, interest rates, as you know, peaked in early 1980s, basically 1981. And rates have been declining. But I do believe interest rates put in a double bottom in 2016, and they're only going to go higher. You can see how the 10-year treasury yield broke this 31-year downtrend line. Remember, broken downtrend line, that is now support on a pullback. But again, you can see how rates could pull back and maybe retest that trend line before rallying higher. But I think over the long term, rates are going to go up. Next, chart 15, here's the yield curve. That's the 10-year treasury yield divided by the 2-year. As you know, when that goes negative, that's one of the best predictors, early predictors of a recession. You can see in the past. Again, last week it did fall a little bit, fell 1%, but it's still quite a ways from going below 1. Okay, it's got to go below 1 to go negative. There is also some divergence on the RSI that could produce a bounce. So again, it's something we'll keep an eye on, guys. It's still well above 0, but it's definitely something we will watch. All right, moving on to general commodities. Chart 16, here's crude oil. Pulled back 3% last week, and the previous week it had a bigger pullback. Again, it got quite extended on the daily and the weekly chart, and you can see nice pullback. You can see it's basically near this uptrend line. We'll see if that holds or not. Next. Chart 17, here's a daily view. Again, right before I left, we drew crude oil as a rising wedge. You see it there, and that has played out beautifully. Okay, so nice sell-off in crude oil. It was a bit extended. But it's now coming to a little support trend line here. There is some divergence, positive divergence on the RSI and CCI. So we'll see if that can produce a little bounce or not in the short term. Next, Chapter 18, here's the tradable ETF, USO. Next, Chapter 19, here's a 60-minute of the tradable ETF, USO. There is some MACD divergence right now, at least potential. So because, you know, crude oil is near a support and with some divergence on the daily, we'll see if we can get a bounce with this divergence. Next, Chapter 20, natural gas weekly view, basically flat for the week. It rallied off support back in February, that lower trend line, and it's, you know, really just a kind of a meandering move up for now from that time frame. Otherwise, really not much of a pattern here. Next, Chapter 21, here's the daily view. Again, sort of uptrend channel, just drifting higher. Next, Chapter 22, XLE Energy. Nice pullback the last couple weeks, as you would expect with the pullback in crude oil. Little bounce here. This could be maybe a wave B bounce. I think it's going to have trouble going right back to the highs. So I think there's going to be more consolidation here before this pullback is over. 50-day moving average below could be a support. Next, Chapter 23, OIH, Oil Services. Same look, basically. Next, Chapter 24, the BPNER, Bullish Percent Energy Index. This had a nice negative divergence before I left. I talked about it, and it played out for a nice sell-off, as you can see. That was also a warning sign. Next, Chapter 25, weekly view of copper, up 0.7%, but otherwise still noise within this pattern. The bullish view is this is some sort of bullish pennant-type triangle pattern. It needs to break out to the upside. Still inside the pattern. Next, Chapter 26, here's the daily view. Same pattern, just on a daily view. Main resistance is the downtrend line. Next, Chapter 27, DBA, agriculture ETF, down 1.14%, otherwise sort of in a triangle pattern here. It appears to have put in some sort of falling wedge bottom late last year. Next, Chapter 28, here's the daily view. Again, you can see this triangle pattern that I just showed you on the weekly above. So far, just bouncing around inside the pattern. Next, Chapter 29, wheat. Big down week for wheat, down 3.6%. Corn was down in a similar fashion. Next, Chapter 30, coffee, up 2% for the week. Again, I've been bullish on coffee because it had a nice falling wedge pattern with divergence weeks ago. It broke out of that, pulled back, and back tested that wedge, which was support. Now it's moving higher. I think coffee could move nicely higher over time for a swing trade if you're looking for one, guys. Next, Chapter 31, here's the daily view. Again, you can see how coffee broke out of the falling wedge, rallied up to the 200-day moving average, pulled back to the broken trend line, found support, then rallied up. Again, I do believe this is a potential swing with a wide stop. The way to play it is the ETN BJO, Boy Jeffrey Oscar. So that's the new tradable ETF. It used to be Joe, J-O, but it's now BJO. Next, Chapter 32, sugar weekly view up 0.5%. Again, this had a nice divergence of several weeks ago. Heck of a correction from the 2016 highs. So guys, basically with a lot of these commodities, you know, what has pushed the CRB and DBC commodity ETFs indexes higher this year has mainly been crude oil and energy. But if some of these other commodities can start rallying, like gold and coffee and copper and, you know, all these, that could also help push the general commodity CRB index higher. Next, Chapter 33, here's the Japanese yen. So we're going to talk about precious metals. Always got to look at the Japanese yen since it tends to be very correlated with gold, as you can see. Gold at the top, Japanese yen at the bottom. It's not a perfect correlation, but it's pretty good as well, though. Tends to move together. Next, Chapter 34, gold weekly view, down 0.34%. still within the triangle pattern here, guys. So it pulled back to the triangle pattern before I left, tested that as a support. And for now, it's still holding this. We'll see if it can rally off of this or not. Next, Trevor 35. Here's another weekly view. Again, you can see the triangle pattern. Here I drew the lower trend line to that 1204 area. That gives it a little more room to pull back if it wants to. Next, Trevor 36. Here's a monthly view. So down about 0.4% for the month. It's still overall possibly in this large multi-year rounded bottoming pattern. Again, this has been forming for what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 5.5 years now. So it's pretty big. If it can break to the upside, if it can break that upper resistance in the upper 1300s, I think it has a shot to maybe get up to that 61 fib area, 1590 or so. But again, it's got to break out. Next, Trevor 37, here's gold on the daily view. Steve drew sort of a tight channel. Still can't really get out of it. You can see, you know, what's happened recently is the 200-day moving average, which acted as support in early May, was broken, became resistance last week. Next, Trevor 38, here's the commercial net short. So the commercial net short in the previous week was 116,000. That was getting pretty low. Again, I would love to see it below 100,000. But it didn't. But it moved up this week to 137,000. Next, moving to silver, Trevor 39 weekly view of silver down 0.63% for the week. Again, still just movement within the big triangle pattern. Really, just noise until it breaks out of this one way or the other, up or down. Next, Trevor 40. Here's the monthly view of silver. Again, no changes, guys. Still just consolidating. It's really getting tight here, especially these monthly moving averages, the 9, the 20, the 50. They're all pinched together near the same spot. Bollinger Bands are coming together. That's when you can get your bigger moves. I would be super bullish on silver if it can break out over this trend line. Needs a close over that 1736 area. If it could do that on expanding volume, if the dollar pulls back, I think it could move up into the mid-20s. But again, it's got to take out resistance, guys. Next, Trevor 41, here's the daily view. Again, still in the bigger triangle pattern, and you can see a smaller triangle forming as well. Next, moving on to the stocks, Trevor 42, here's XAU, gold and silver index. I showed this a couple weeks ago. Again, it is in this big coiling pattern. Energy is building. When it finally does break out of this pattern, it will be a big move, whether it's up or down. Next, Trevor 43, here's the weekly view of GDX, same deal. It's also coiling in a tight triangle pattern. Next, Trevor 44, here's a daily view of GDX, another weekly view. You could also argue that it's a big horizontal rectangle pattern. Basically, it's been trading sideways, up and down between support and resistance for the last 1.5 years. It's been a trader's market. If you're a gold bug and you've just been holding long this whole time, you haven't made any money, okay? Only people making money here are people buying support, selling resistance. Next, Trevor 45, here's another view. Next, Trevor 46, here's the daily view. Again, you can see, we'll see what kind of pattern this develops into. Could it be a wedge forming perhaps? But again, you know, we'll see. We need to see the stock start outperforming relative to the metal. You can see that on the GDX-GLD ratio above. It's really been just going sideways. Next, Trevor 47, here's the BPGDM, Bullish Percent Gold Miners Index. This went on a sell signal a while back and been declining. And as far as individual stocks, guys, there's just not a lot out there. Again, as you'd expect in the precious metals with the way those look above, really they're just not set up here. So I'll just show you what a few of them look like. Trevor 48, AG Silver Stock. Now this one has been uptrending since March. It's really just been a slow march up, holding this uptrend line. Next, Trevor 49, CDE Silver Stock is one I was showing a while back. Is a coiling pattern, but instead of breaking to the upside, it broke down. You see that? Next, Trevor 50, Newmont, possible falling wedge, but again, it's got to reverse up and break to the upside. You also have the 200-day moving average below. Next, Chapter 51, FSM, Silver Stock, possible long over the downtrend line if it can clear this on some volume. And finally, Chapter 52, EGO, Eldorado Gold. This is probably one of the better looking ones. Broke out of a pattern. Pulling back on lighter volume could be flagging. But as you can see, guys, a lot of the, you know, especially if you're a precious metals, guys, honestly, if you're a gold bug, you really should learn to look at some other things to trade because, you know, these things have done nothing for the last year and a half. Or at least you need to be traders. You need to take your profits, not just buy and hold these things, okay? And right now, they're just really not set up. All right, guys, that'll do it. I'll try to do a newsletter on some trade ideas, and that'll be it. Take care. Enjoy the rest of your day.